Amen. You think you arrived, you haven't. Okay. It's about your dedication to the Lord. I'm going to give you some things this morning. I know this is Christmas season. I preached the last two messages on Christmas. Amen. But God really stirred my heart about this particular subject. And so I'm going to preach on my wife's favorite text. Amen. Isn't that good? She kept on after me until I finally give in. Amen. So if you would look with me in Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. And I'm going to read verse 3. Not only that, but I'm going to go from there to Proverbs 27. And so you can, we'll read this verse and then we'll move to Proverbs. That'll be a springboard to get us started to what we want to, I believe what God wants us to put forth this morning. So if you would, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Now I want you to notice there's a key here to this verse that answers all the questions about this peace that we have. And let me say this, this is supernatural peace. This is not the normal peace today. Somehow we've taught our children, if they had plenty of money, they got it on the, I mean, that's where it's at. It ain't, okay? Stardom, it's not where it's at, okay? We got a young man play football for, Dwayne's son plays football out there at Permian. Football is not it. Now, should he not play? No, he should have a good time. Amen. Ought to be a witness there. All that's true. They're looking at him because he professed to be a Christian, okay? So everything that he does, right and wrong, they're watching. Young people, we need to get a grip on that. So this is a supernatural peace. There's no peace outside of the Lord Jesus. There's no peace in football. Amen. There's no peace in preaching if you're a preacher, unless the same thing applies. There's no peace in singing. I don't care how good the boy's voice is, it doesn't make a lick of difference. If they don't have something in them that makes them glow for Jesus, then all they're doing is wasting their time and other people's time. Amen. So I really believe that desire's there, okay? But a desire is not quite enough, okay? Desire, you know, when I wanted to play football in high school, you know, and all these guys were so much bigger than I was and all that stuff, so I finally gave it up. I said, man, I don't want to go out of this life this early. Amen, you know, one of them guys hit me and killed me. So, you know what I'm saying? So, but desire is not enough, young people. It's not enough. And I said young people, anybody over, under 96, anyhow, amen. Anybody under 96 is in this program, all right. So here's the thing. I want you to know that this is a supernatural phenomenon here, okay? And what is the key? Whose mind? Mark that in your Bible. Whose mind is stayed on him? You know, the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. What does that mean? It means pray without ceasing. That's what it means. You know, no means no. Yes means yes. Amen. A lot of teenagers don't know no. They know yes. They don't know no. Okay? You pardon me, okay, in my folly. Okay? But here's the key. If your mind is not continuing in the process of thinking, will I please God? That God dwells in me. Am I doing the right thing? Am I moving in the right direction? We're talking thinking. Okay, and the Bible's always talking about the heart. Where is the heart? Well, we all know where the heart is, amen? Your physical heart. The reference in the Bible is to show you the central part of your spiritual being is up here. It's not down here. Somebody said one time, it'd be terrible to miss heaven by a foot or 14 inches. Talking about his heart. It ain't got nothing to do with this heart pump. It has to do with what you believe with all of your being. He is saying the central part of your spiritual man is the brain, is up here. Your will, your exercise, the motive, the emotions, everything about you is up here. Amen. So with that being said, I want you to look at Proverbs chapter, I said 27 a while ago, excuse me. Every once in a while I make one of them drastic mistakes, but it's Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Verse 7 says this. Now, I want you to also know that he's talking about in the context, the whole of what we're talking about, the context is he's talking about how good God is. That's what he's talking about. Did you know you're such a blessed people because you're here this morning? Did you know it's a wonderful thing to get up in the morning and put your pants on if you're a man? Amen. A dress on if you're a lady. That's a wonderful thing. There's people in the rest homes all over the country would love to be here. They probably had the opportunity at one time and maybe didn't even use that opportunity. But now they're in a place where somebody has to push them around and feed them and take care of them. What a hideous thing. I've asked this. You never know what God will do for you, but you got to throw your hat in the ring. Amen? Just throw it out there in the ring. See what he says. I've said, God, I want to go out in a hurry. You say, you're crazy. No, 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 no. You see, death is coming. Death is coming. I want to go out in a hurry. I don't want to be run over by 18 whalers or something, amen, like this. I'm not concerned about how I die. It's how I die. Okay? So God can just cut the ticker off, and that'd be it. Amen? Wouldn't that be a blessing? Now, not all you're smiling, not all you're receiving that, but I'm just telling you one thing for sure, that I don't want to tally around here. Okay? I don't want somebody changing my diaper. Okay? I don't want somebody washing my old nasty feet and trimming my old nasty toenails and all that bunch of junk. I don't want that. I want to go to be with him in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. Now I'm hoping that the rapture comes. Amen. That's what I'm hoping. Everybody's praying for that. If you don't have that hope in you, you need to get to the altar and ask God to forgive you. Amen. That hope, that is our hope. That is our only hope. Now we have eternal salvation in the Lord Jesus. Praise God for that and so on and so forth. But notice he says here, verse 7 says this. Now listen, pay close attention to this. This is good stuff. Now, I'm expecting everybody in here to get this morning. So we'll have a quick quiz after the service, and we're going to see what you learn, what you know. Amen. Now, you know, I'm just kidding you. I know how y'all are anyhow. He said in verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, watch me, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Okay? So he talks about a lot of things about how you abuse these things. But he's saying that your sin will come out. Your life will expose what you've been thinking. Amen. We had the worst age that's ever been known about murders and rapes and bad things, bombing. And what are these people thinking? I tell you what they're thinking. They're not thinking about good stuff. Amen. Not long ago, we was in the mall. There was a black man there, and he had a, doesn't necessarily mean a black or a white man, but it was a black man there, and he had a little old boy. That little old boy was little, just barely could walk. Cutest thing you ever saw in your life. And my wife goes over, and she catches the little boy by the hand and shakes his hand and said, oh, you're such a beautiful little child. And she went, and the daddy, and you could see it, he was fuming. Don't you touch my boy. That's what was on his face. My wife is naive. She's the most naive woman on the face of the earth. She's a precious lady. She loves everybody. Amen. She's wonderful. I'm glad she's mine. Amen. I told her, I said, Gloria, I kept doing, get away from the kid. I'm telling you, this man would have attacked one of us or both. There's people out there that hate other people because of their color. Because of what they are. Because of what they believe. I couldn't get her away. And finally, I hit her with my foot on her foot, and I said, come on, let's go. We got to go. And she's walking away going, and you know I'm telling the truth. You know her, amen? But you have to have a little discretion about where you are and what's taking place because of the thinking going on in his skull. Hey, the other day we were shopping. I like to shop, but not like this. I mean, people was everywhere. And we was in one of the liquid soap joints. Amen? You know what I'm saying? We buy this liquid soap stuff. And I remember when we only had one bar of soap, and it was Lysol. It cleaned them. You put in your hair, it'll make change the color of your hair. Amen. I'm not trying to expose how old I am or nothing like this. I do remember when there was no TV. Amen. But I walked up, and my wife picked out the soap that her darling son loves. And it was right up on the very top shelf. And I'm standing there, and the people are bumping into you. They're moving you out of the way because the place is that many people in the place. And I'm looking up there at them bottles of stuff. And I'm trying to think about how, if I did that, I'd knock them all down. Amen. This big guy walks up beside me. He's 6'6", probably weighs 300 pounds, a big old black guy standing right next to me. And so I turned to him and I said, why in the world would God make you that big and me this little. And he looked and he said, well, I don't know. But he said, I guess he knows best, doesn't he? I said, yeah, would you get me one of them soaps up there? Now watch me here. Now watch me. In a few seconds, I knew how the man was thinking. I opened it up to him how I was thinking. We had a great conversation. I believe we'd have hung around a little while longer. He might have paid for the soap for me. Amen. What I'm trying to say is, people, what are you thinking? What's on your mind? In your jobs, everywhere that you go, what is your thinking? You know, people have a job and they're not satisfied with it. I mean, look at me. Look at the world. They don't make enough money. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They're just grumbling, mumbling people that their minds is just let loose. Now, watch me now. I'm gonna get to my three big points here pretty quick and close this thing out. But watch me here now. The Apostle Paul said on his way to Rome to be beheaded. He'd already been tried. Everything was over. He's going to Rome. God's going to see to it that he gets there, and they're going to cut his head off. What did he do? What terrible thing did Paul do? He just preached the gospel. What did Jesus do that they hung him on the cross? He is God. He is good. He is righteous. He is pure. Nobody is there in this world today can arrive to that. But I'm going to tell you something. You better be trying. And the only way to do it is you better be watch what you're thinking. Amen. So the Apostle Paul is on his way to Rome. They put him on a ship. And the ship gets out to sea, and for 14 days they was in a storm. And the ship is breaking up. And that night, the Apostle Paul said, the Lord Jesus stood by me last night on this ship. And he said, everything's okay, Paul. Everything's okay. Paul had already told the high-ups to think yourself happy. What do you mean, Brother Billy? How can you think yourself happy? I told you it's supernatural, didn't I? If your eyes and your thoughts are on the Lord Jesus Christ, brother, you can think yourself happy. I don't care if you're on a bed of cancer. I don't care what's out before you. If you're a child of God, God knows what you are, where you are, and what you're experiencing. And when your thoughts are on him, brother, there's victory galore. Amen. Man, listen, I heard Brother Vance Havner say this. He said, bless God, his wife died at 4 o'clock in the morning. She had a heart attack and died at 4 o'clock in the morning. And at 11 o'clock, he preached in the church that he was supposed to preach in. He preached on, blessed are they that are not offended. My wife was talking about this last night. What would I do without her? What would she do without me? We'll be all right. We're going to be okay. Amen. I love her. She loves me. We spent our whole life together. What a devastating thing that would be. And yet, Brother Vance Havner said, boy, as I got in that pulpit, I was determined not to be offended with what had happened to me. God could have let that woman live longer than that. But he took her. He's never done anything wrong, nor will he ever do anything wrong. And so Brother Vance Havner said, boy, it was a blessing to get up there and open the book of God. This is what God has to say to our precious hearts today. It's not me. It's not Billy Barho. It's God. It's God's word here. That's telling us what to do. God is saying, what you're thinking, it'll kill you. You better think right. So what are you thinking? Do you know what this word, I looked this word up. Biblically, you know what this word means, Steve? It means to squeeze in the right position. So he's saying thinking is to squeeze your thinking to the right way. Now, if I were to, if the real thing, big screen up here, okay, and we come up here one at a time and we ask God to show us on the screen what you're thinking. You say, what, are you crazy? Yeah, I'm crazy. That's what I'm saying. Watch what you think. You should be focused this morning on the Lord Jesus. You should be focused this morning. You boys shouldn't be hitting each other back on the back row back there. You ought to be focusing on what God is saying that you need to be thinking about. Amen. Isn't that simple? Just think good stuff. Amen. Don't think stupid stuff. What about what we're going to eat today? Who cares? We eat too much anyhow. Most of us in here are too fat. You say, Brother Billy, that's terrible. Is it true or not? Somebody said to me one time, I've lost 10 pounds. I said, back up to the mirror. You might find it. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. If you can't enjoy this life, listen, I take stuff all the time. I take punishment all the time, mostly from my wife. But I'm saying, listen, that kind of junk is just junk. It don't make a hill of beans. How skinny you are, how fat you are if you love God. Amen? That's the truth. That's the truth. If your thoughts and processes are on there, Paul, the Lord stood by him on a sinking ship. Remember where he's going now. They're going to cut his head off. He said last night, he said, boy, I'm just happy. He said, I'm so happy. I'm just happy. What is he, nuts or something? Did he fall and hit his head or what? No, no, no. He said, the Lord stood with me last night. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for me. Amen. He said he stood by me last night and he told me that the ship, watch me, is going to sink. Now watch me. See, Paul already had a prior promise. He's going to go to Rome. God's going to see to it he gets to Rome so he can get his head cut off. But there he's saying, he said, the Lord stood by me last night and he told me the boat's going to sink. But you tell this 217 people that's on this ship with you, they can throw everything over, they can do anything, they can put the lifeboats off, they can get in the lifeboats, that they're going to die. Unless, and I'm telling you this morning, God said, unless you repent of your sins, you're going to die. Physically, you're going to die anyhow. Spiritually, you're going to die if you don't come to Jesus Christ. So, the Apostle Paul said, he stood with me last night, and he said to everybody, stay with the ship. Now, wait a minute, he just got finished saying, the ship's going down. Ship's going down. Stay with the ship. Sound like me, he wants to get rid of them. Amen. And Paul said, listen, the Bible says this. The Bible, God told me this very night, if you will stay with me, you shall be spared. The Bible also says later on in that same chapter, it said every one of them was saved. You know why they stood with Paul? You know what God did? Buddy, he showed them how to think right. You know, you can't think, the ship's going down, how are you going to do that? How are you going to do this? How are you going to do the other? You people out there that's not serving God outright, you know what you need to do? Quit thinking about that bunch of junk and think about what God said. Listen, let me throw another one out there for you. This will be a good one. This is a good one. Some of you are going to back up and crawl backwards and all that stuff when I say this. The Bible says, let this man be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying exactly what you think I'm saying, exactly what the Bible says. The Bible says, John chapter 14, verse 12 says, you're going to do greater works than I did. Who's talking? Jesus is talking. You say, why did he say that? Because it's true. If God's people are thinking about God's way and God's mannerism and God's plan for their life, you know what's going to happen? They're going to lead other people to Jesus Christ. Jesus came to save the lost. He didn't come for the saved. God's not running around trying to scratch my back. Amen. I know a lot of great preachers. Amen. God's not trying to get them boys, you're doing good, son, you're doing good. Just keep on doing it. No, those boys have learned how to preach. What they've done is they've relied on God Almighty and not themselves. I know a guy, he can read a book in an hour or so. Well, if I'm reading a first chapter or something and a fly comes by, I've got to start over. I mean, the guy's got a mental capacity that's uncomprehendable. He memorizes stuff. He knows. Listen, he's got notes. I've seen his notes. He's got notes. Look at this thing here. I mean, every time I preach a different message off of this thing, I do a different color. And some places, yeah, I can't even read what it was. The ink's made it run and all this stuff. This guy's got notes make mine look like they're great. But he never uses them. You say, oh, that's not. No, that's his study. That's what that's how he studied. But he's already got it down. He's not trying to figure out what's next. Listen, God's just poured into him what he wants his people to hear. and you're thinking about some other thing. God is saying, think the way I want you to think. Paul said, I'm happy. I'm so happy I can't understand it. He's going to die. God's already told him. Let me say to you this morning, you're going to die. I'm not trying to be morbid. You don't know when. You don't know how. You don't know what's going to transpire. But you're going to die unless Jesus comes back this morning. If he does, hallelujah, what a blessing. I'm like Brother Roloff. If you don't come today, sure missed a good opportunity. Amen. So what I'm saying, your thinking dictates your life. I read the verse to you. I read the verse to you. I took my marker out. See, we all have failed, faults. But Proverbs chapter 23 says, verse 7, chapter 23, verse 7 says, For as he thinketh in his heart, and I've already explained the thing about your heart, this heart don't think, this one here does. So what is he saying? It's within your power. You listening to me? I'm just doing the best I can, preacher. That's not good enough. As you think, you have the ability to change your thinking. If you do, you move into the realm of the blessedness of peace that we can have. What's the greatest commodity in the world? The greatest commodity in our life down here? What's the greatest commodity? I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about the greatest commodity is the peace of God that rules in our life. The peace of God will get you anywhere. Hey, listen. Peter went to jail for preaching. And during the night, the angel of the Lord came and unlocked the doors to get him out. Watch me, Steve. He had to kick Peter and say, get up, Peter. You think Peter was worried about jail? You think he's worried about a pillow? My wife said the other day, all the grandchildren are going to be here. And I said, yeah, I know. She said, we need to go make the beds. I said, no, when the girls get here, tell them to go back and make the beds. They got all the energy in the world. They got all the ability in the world. We don't have any energy, and we have a hard time getting up the steps at the house. Amen? So let the kids do it. We don't need to polish the house before they come. We need to polish the house after they leave. Amen. Well, where are they going to sleep? Where are the boys going to sleep? What are we going to do with the boys? Amen. Where are they going to sleep? They'll sleep. They'll sleep. They ain't no problem. They ain't a problem. They can lay on the floor. They can lay on a bag. You got a bag you can lay on. Lay on a bag. You know, I mean, come on, man. What I'm concerned with is my grandchildren, I want them to think like God. I want them to think like God. I want them to think about all the blessed things he's done for us. Did you know that God became flesh? We just talked about those two Sundays. How in the world could God come down in this world because he's God? He became flesh. He endured hunger. He endured pain. He endured tiredness. He endured all those things as a man, but he was still God. You say, well, explain that to me. I can't explain that to you, and I ain't even going to try, and I wish you'd quit asking me. Amen. He was as much man as any man sitting here today, but he was as much God as God could be. Now, you want to try to explain the Trinity? Anybody want to try that? You're a nut if you do. Somebody said one time, if you try to explain the Trinity, you'll go nuts. If you don't accept it, you'll go to hell. I didn't write this book. I'm just telling you what it says. I did read the book, and that's what it says. And the majority of the verses and the chapters in this Bible have to do with your thinking. Well, he pointed his finger at me. Jerry Adams one time said to me, I was preaching, and I made this statement. There's people all over the country. It's true. It's true. If everybody in this country right here would make an effort to come to church and do right, this church would be packed out. We'd have to build a new building. I said, there's people all over the country with the stones throw of the church, could hit the church with a rock, and they're not going to church. Old Jay was going out in his little wheelchair, going out the door, and he said, you know I'm the only one here who could throw a rock and hit the church. I said, I'm glad you got it, buddy. Amen. know, people, it's stupid for us to think like we think. What am I going to do? My wife says, what are we going to do about the phone bill? We pay $100 for a landline when everybody else has cell phones. But there's no signal where we are. We're so far west. There's no signals in the old west. Amen. I wouldn't move for nothing unless God made me. Amen. I love it. We turn on our gravel road 6.5 miles or 6 miles to our house. We turn on the gravel road, and almost simultaneously we say, glory to God. All you got to do is get on 35 minutes, and you'll be thanking God that you made it home and all this stuff. But all right, so let me say this. In the older thinking, the older days, when I was a young kid, and I say this to my grandchildren all the time, when I was your age, I was a knothead. Some of y'all are close. Okay? But I really was a knothead. And David's sitting back there with a smile on his face, he's probably worse than I was. You say, why? He became a police chief one time, amen. You gotta watch them cops, amen. So back in those days, it was folly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul made this statement, bear with me in my folly. Every once in a while I give a testimony about things I did when I was a kid. Not bad things, not some things that you see going on today, but I did some stupid stuff. We had an old man, it was a crab on the street, two streets over from our house. We didn't like him. We'd come pass out gospel tracts, not gospel tracts, something's happening at the church, and we'd pass out, and he'd throw it in the street. Don't bring that junk over here. So we said, well, we'll fix him. So we had an old 48 Ford car, two-door. I mean, you had to slam the doors two or three times to make sure they latched or you fall out of them. So it was four of us, and so what we decided to do, we'd drive down his road real slow, and the boy in the front and the boy in the back on the passenger side would reach out and grab his garbage can. He'd grab that garbage can, and we'd take it down the end of the street, tump it over, you know, and throw his garbage can out, kick it, you know, a time or two, whatever. We did that two or three times, and I didn't know the old man was that smart. But he figured out who he was, what he was doing. So one night he filled his garbage can up with sheetrock. Y'all know what sheetrock is? It's probably 150 pounds in that thing, maybe 200 pounds. So me and my cohort hung out of the car, had one hand on the fender, reached out to get that thing. Jerked us out of the car, amen. Now I said that to say this. We were not heads, we were dumb, we were stupid, but I've never wanted to shoot anybody. I've never wanted to blow up somebody in a school system. I've never wanted to do some of the things we're seeing going on. You say, what is that? That's a sign of the end time when right is wrong and wrong is right. Those creeps that they're bringing back, putting back across the board, not all of them are Mexicans, but those people that have a criminal records, they're taking them back over there, and then in 2 weeks' time, they're back over here.
Well, we don't want to put up a fence because you know what that'll do.
I knew he was going to get into political stuff. No, I'm just telling you, this is a sovereign nation. You want to get in right. If you don't, you ain't got no business here no how. Amen. Now, I told you I was going to get to my three big points. Young people, let me say this before we move on. I'm nervous. If Jesus don't come, I'm nervous about my grandchildren, what they'll face. The other night, Christine and them left Tennessee. I don't know what time they left. But I prayed all night long that they would get to West Monroe, Louisiana, where their motel room was. Prayed all night long. My daughter said to me, Daddy, go on to bed. It's going to be all right. I said, well, that'd be great. I could go into bed and turn over and over and over and over, and I'd still be wanting to pray. Didn't kill me. Made me a little better. You say, why? Because I was talking to God. You know your prayers, eat your meat, save your skin, back ears, and dive in? That's garbage. You understand me? And I said that. Pray for your car. Pray for your motorcycle. pray for this, pray for that, and your family's going to hell on a bobsled, and you're not thinking about your family. You know what Noah got in the ark? He preached for 120, 25 years. You know who he got in? Steve, he got his family in. What a failure he was. No. No. The man hung on to the very end. You know what I want? I want to hang on to the very end. You say, why? Because I can nail my grandchildren up against the wall and tell them what they need to have.
Well, I don't like that.
Did I ask you if you like that? How many of my grandkids stand up and say, Paul asked me before he said anything? No, no. You say, why? Because I love you. I don't know why. I don't even know how. But the love of God constraineth me, because I thus judge that he that died for one died for all. You have to have Jesus Christ in your life. You get that thinking down straight, and when you come to church, you won't have any worry about what your thinking is going to do. It's going to be focused on him. Amen. Get dizzy every once in a while. Amen. Okay, so he is our example. Paul is our example. Paul said he could think himself happy. Paul said, I can think myself happy. And I'm going to think myself happy. I've had to think myself happy several times. There's not a day passes that I don't think about our son. Not a day, not an hour that I don't think about that boy. You say, why? He was from that woman back there and myself. He was our child. Look at that little new baby. You know what that baby's going to end up being? Whatever they teach them. However they lead them. And the only thing that will secure that little baby, and the only thing that will secure you sitting in this morning, whether you're 90 years old or whether you're 10 years old, is the grace of God. It's the only thing. Don't go to the movies and pick out a star. The only star you can pick out that would probably be okay would be Matt Dillon or John Wayne. Did you know that John Wayne paid for the movie about Vietnam? The state, the government said, you cannot do that. He said, I can't do it. I'll pay for every, he paid for every nickel of it. But he showed America what Vietnam was like. He produced that movie himself because he loved America. And the people have a right to know. So the first thing is, this peace of mind is that you'll always do the right thing. Say, that's not very profound. I'm not trying to be profound. I'm trying to crack open a little place in your skull so that you can realize this. How many times during your life, during this past week and the next week, how many times do you do things that's just a little crooked? You ever do that? Somebody said, well, that's just a little sin, just big as a big one for God. Did you know something else? Well, I'm a Sunday school teacher. I don't care. God's no respecter of persons. Amen? Is this good stuff or what? I mean, I didn't. Hallelujah, man. This is good stuff. It's simple. You got to do what's right. You know how, you know, there was a time in which we went through some stuff as a young Christian. We believed that you could take a gospel tract, Steve, and run into somebody, and if you could have a little conversation with them, we just grabbed them by the collar and stuck them up against the wall and said, man, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and rot and go to hell. That was our idea. You know what? Nothing can get you heaven or hell without your will. It has nothing to do with me. Gospel tract, Bible, nothing else. If you don't put your faith and trust in what God said, you will die and go to hell. Now, I found this. I found that if I can just make a conversation. The black man over here. I mean, we had a good conversation. All over Steve and some liquid soap. Now, don't try to take credit for some of it, because you ain't getting none of it. Amen? I was the guy who talked to the guy. Okay? Your mother was the one who wasted all the money on the soap. So what I'm saying is that we need to see people and let them see us for what we are. Anybody ever think about being in a glass fishbowl? Well, everybody can see everything about you. What you got to hide? If you're doing right, what you got to hide? Just live for Jesus and just be happy as you can be. You say, "Why? Well, did you know that I'm going to live forever? Did you? Let me tell you something scarier than that. Did you know during 1,000 years I'm going to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus? Y'all better suck it up. This is good here today. Amen. We're going to rule and reign, Steve. We're going to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus for 1,000 years. You're 25 years old. You're 23 or 24 years old. You know what your thoughts are? Well, I'll be glad when I get to be 25 so my insurance will go down. Isn't that the truth? Is that the truth? Quit thinking like that. Thank God you got insurance. Amen. Go ahead and pay the piper. You ain't going to get out of this thing rich nowhere. You know what you ought to have in this life? What you earn. You say, why? By the sweat of your brow, by the sweat of your jaw, your chin. That's what the Bible says. You need to realize nobody owes you nothing. Isn't that good? See, I knew y'all would like it. There's some of you still ain't smiling, but it'll all come around a little bit maybe, okay? So we need to have the peace of God because we've done the right thing. Second point I want to point out is the peace of God comes by knowing that God has made you and He made no mistake. See the big black guy? You know, he could walk around the house and change the light bulbs. He could walk up here and do this. I got to have a ladder. Now I've got to the point where I get 3 steps up the ladder to get dizzy and fall off. Amen. But if he'd have just given me 2 inches of that big old boy, he'd have never missed it. And I'd have been 6 foot. Amen. Watch it, Wyatt. Amen. Knowing the peace of God means you know that God made you like you are. Watch me now, boys. I did a little hit a while ago on the ladies. Now it's your turn. But he didn't do this to you. Amen. You did that. No amens there. I thought you ladies would be screaming and hollering, jumping up and carrying on. Amen. He made you not only like you are. Watch me now. This is good. But he made you for a purpose. He made you for a purpose. I told Wyatt before they left to go back to Odessa. I said, them 2 boys that made a profession here is going to be looking at you. You're the man. You know, we always say, I want to be the man. Well, after you be the man, you don't want to be the man. When you have the responsibility, I don't want that part of it. I just want the good stuff. Woman, sit down, shut up. I like that. But when I have to take care of her, it's altogether different. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. Amen. But God is going to come to every family. Watch me. And he's going to judge the man of the house about that family. You know what we have today? We have a women's lib all over our nation. You know, the women, they can do anything that the man can do. I don't doubt that. It's just a thing that you shouldn't be in the position that you are doing a man's job. I said one time a woman shouldn't climb up the telephone pole in her tight blue jeans to fix a wire up there, and a woman left our church. Gloria said, man, you run her off. I said, why? I didn't do nothing. All I said was, a woman ought to be home with the kids. Somebody's raising most people's kids and teach them anything they want to teach them while you're off at work making money. And the Bible says pockets filled with holes. You can make all the money you want. God's going to see to it that it gets out of them holes. So she left. I said, I can't imagine why she left. Gloria said, could it have been when you said she climbed a pole in her blue jeans when that's what she does for a living? It doesn't change the fact, people. Watch me close. And I could have these ladies stand up, and I will not embarrass them. You know what a woman is? We have them in our church. We've got a lot of them in our church. They're godly ladies. They're godly ladies. Brother Larry said to me this morning, he said, he pointed to her, and he said, this is the spiritual side of me.
She can almost, just like anything else, she can be the worst in all this world. Yeah. Look at that. A man back there giving me orders. Get up there behind it. Amen. Okay. Mind of knowing that God made you for a purpose. Made you for a purpose. There's people you'll come in contact with I'll never see unless you bring them, win them to Jesus and bring them. Did you know what evangelism is? Can I say this morning? I'm going to say it anyhow. You know what evangelism is? It's the church going out and bringing people to church. It's not the preacher getting somebody to make a profession of faith. No, no, no. When they get to the church, the preacher's to expound the Word of God. The first thing we all expound is the Savior and what He's done. The second thing is we need to expound your sin and what you've done. And the third one is that God can bring them together. He can take it off of your record, what you were, and make you a child of the King. And He expects you to act like one of His children. Amen. God has a purpose for your life. You're sitting in this place this morning. You're sitting in this place this morning. You know that you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You know that if you died, you'd go to heaven because of God's precious blood. Not because you've done something good, because He has done the best. That is, He paid the way. The third point is, and I'm closing, the peace of mind of knowing that time will end one day. I know time's coming to an end. I tell my grandchildren, they say, Paul, you stop talking like that. Now, when I look in the mirror on Sunday morning, I'm trying to patch up and look pretty decent. But they see me down home. And I say to them, I'm getting close. Closer than I was last week. Getting close, getting closer and closer when I'm going to say goodbye to my grandchildren and my wife. So on and so forth. You know what? That's not a morbid statement. That's not a morbid statement. None of us have the assurance of anything different from that. We don't know when that time is. But when we're prepared, you know what? We can be happy. I can be happy. God don't want me going around my chin dragging the ground. Oh my God. Oh my God. What am I going to do? Trust Jesus. Twist your thinking God's way. Amen. So the question is, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? I'd like for you to stand with your heads bowed, eyes closed. Ms. Marva's going to play us an invitational song or hymn, whatever God says to your heart. Would you let Him have His way?